Iran and North Korea seem to be edging toward the manufacture of nuclear weapons. Negotiations between the European Union and the Iranian government to limit the development of Iran's nuclear industry appear to be falling apart. Iran said it was prepared to develop the fuel needed to make nuclear weapons, though it said the fuel would be used for power plants. North Korea said it had taken spent nuclear fuel from a reactor, which could be used to make nuclear arms. It appears North Korea may be preparing to test a nuclear weapon. John Wolfstahl is deputy director of the Nonproliferation Project at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. He's been following these developments, and he's in the studio. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Why? Why are North Korea and Iran pursuing nuclear weapons?
Well, I think it's a great question. We need to understand what the motivations are if we're ever going to try and turn the nuclear weapon programs off in these countries. I think there are two very different motives. For North Korea, nuclear weapons are very much a lifeline. The regime is worried about their survival. They're worried about going the way of East Germany, as East Germany did at the end of the Cold War. And they're worried about the regime of Kim Jong-il remaining in power. And this is a great insurance policy. For Iran, it's about many different things. It is about regime survival because they do see themselves on the axis of evil hit list, but they're also playing politics to their domestic audience. This is a way for Iran to reclaim its appropriate power position in the Middle East, to be respected among countries, and to join an elite power club. And so we have two different motives, and we have to try and calibrate our policies differently for each.
So what sort of initiatives can be offered to North Korea to back away from these plans?
Well, if we're right in thinking that what North Korea really wants is survival and assurance of survival, then we can try and offer that directly through diplomatic recognition, under the right circumstances, food assistance and energy assistance. And as the president has offered by saying that we have no intention to attack North Korea, and if we solve the nuclear program, then we're not about to undertake regime change. But there's a great amount of distrust, there's a great amount of tension, and so that is going to take a long, concerted effort that we have really not mounted to this point.
And what kind of incentives could be offered to Iran?
Well, Iran is much more complicated because North Korea doesn't have a population that votes every 4 years that they have to worry about. And so we do have to be, I think, a little bit more sensitive to what's going on in the Iran situation. But I think we need to be prepared to engage them directly or through the Europeans who are already working this and offer them a chance to reintegrate into the economic community. The president and the European leaders have offered them membership in the World Trade Organization. I think that's the right path. The real problem is, how are we going to deal with the nuclear question in Iran? They want to build nuclear power plants, and right now they're building the facilities that can produce the fuel for those plants, which can be turned very quickly into making nuclear weapons material. And so we need to try and crack that nut.
But is it possible to allow Iran to have a nuclear power facility that is safeguarded and inspected and be sure that that fuel is not turned into weapons?
Well, there are different types of nuclear facilities. Nuclear power plants can be very adequately safeguarded, because you're dealing with very large, intact fuel bundles that don't go missing very easily. The problem is Iran is also pursuing what's called uranium enrichment through centrifuges. And this is what actually takes natural uranium, which can't be used in weapons, and beefs it up. It's sort of like a high-octane uranium, but that can be used for both power plants or for nuclear bombs. Those can't be adequately safeguarded because a country can pull out of the Nonproliferation Treaty. It can kick out inspectors, as North Korea did, and if that facility exists, it can be turned very quickly. And so what we need to do is find a way that Iran can benefit from nuclear technology without having the most sensitive facilities like enrichment.
Now, should Iran and North Korea end up processing nuclear weapons, what does that say about the future of the Non-Proliferation Treaty?
Well, this is why myself and so many people that work on these issues day to day are very, very worried about where we stand. Many people believe we are, in fact, at a tipping point. That's very in phrase these days. But if North Korea, which has violated its treaty commitments, pulled out of the treaties that have restrained it from building nuclear weapons, if they can do that and get away with it without any punishment, without any retribution, and if Iran can also be seen as playing the system in order to get nuclear weapons, then I think we really are seeing the end of the nonproliferation system. We're going to be dealing with multiple countries, 20, 30, 40 with nuclear weapons, and that's a much more dangerous world that we have no idea how to manage.
John Wolfstahl is deputy director of the Nonproliferation Project at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. He previously worked at the Energy Department in the Clinton administration, where he served as a special policy advisor on nonproliferation. Thanks so much for coming in.
My pleasure.